An MLA has found himself on the front pages of our local Sunday tabloids after he sent naked pictures to an undercover reporter that he thought he was meeting for sex. Ulster unionist Ross Hussey has apologised unreservedly and has said he made a terrible error of judgment. His party have stood by him and said he has not broken any law. He is a single man and entitled to a private life. The sting was carried out by the Sunday Life newspaper, who maintain their story was in the public interest. It was also front page of the Sunday World yesterday, and their editor, Richard Sullivan, joins me now. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
Also on the line, Sam McBride from the newsletter and Alliance MLA, Kelly Armstrong. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Richard, first of all, public interest?
Well, certainly what appeared in the Sunday World, I would absolutely stand over in terms of public interest, and I'll tell you why. The story as it developed, we had nothing to do with. Our story is quite different to what appeared in the Sunday Life. You've paired them together, but our story is quite different in that we became aware of what was described as a brewing sex scandal at Stormont. It was advertised by the Sunday Life on the radio in the days leading up to the weekend. It was also advertised in the Belfast Telegraph. We received information from our own sources that Mr. Hussey was at the centre of this so-called scandal. We had no detail as to what it was, what may or may not have happened. We approached Mr. Hussey. He immediately, when he spoke to us, he immediately apologised for what he described as inappropriate, embarrassing behaviour that he felt, in his own, again in his own words, that he felt went beyond standards accepted for a publicly elected representative. Now, we did not get into any detail or allegation other than what he said himself, in that he said himself it involved a liaison in a hotel which he had arranged. It was of a sexual nature and that pictures had been sent. Now, those were all, that was all information.
Under your headline from yesterday, it says CDMLA Ross Hussey is today exposed as the king of smut. So CD and the king of smut, is that in the public interest? Is that fair?
Well, we can pick words out of stories, absolutely. I see what you're saying. In isolation, those are not nice words. But again, anything that's reported in the Sunday World was based on information that was given to us by Mr. Hussey and the Ulster Unionist Party. He was the one who told us that he believed, he said he was beyond words. He said his behaviour was totally inappropriate. He said that the story centred on a liaison that he'd arranged in a hotel. He was the one who confirmed that it was for so-called stranger sex.
Let me finish my point.
Okay,
go ahead.
And if you want to get into descriptive language, well, okay, we can pick apart any amount of stories. Those are four words out of an 800-word article. So, you know, we can do that. I could quote you other articles in the story where we said we described him as beleaguered. We said he wouldn't. He said he would stand over his job. He said. Said he was sorry. We said he was fighting for his political career. We said he admitted he had sent naked photographs.
Although it is a front page, so this is the selling point. So when people are in their newsagent or in the forecourt of the garage, wherever, and they see the papers, that is the first paragraph in that story. So there's a headline, Nude Snap MLA says, I'm sorry. CDMLA Ross Hussey is today exposed as the king of smut.
The headline which you refer to, Nude Snap MLA says sorry. I mean, what is inaccurate about that?
I'm not saying there's anything inaccurate, but I'm just I'm questioning the description and the necessity to use words like CD and smut.
Well, again, I put it to you, Vinny. I mean, without wanting to sound like a crack record, I go back to what I've just said. It was Mr. Hussey who described his own behaviour as totally inappropriate, and he felt he embarrassed by it, and he felt, and again, he confirmed the nature of his behaviour, and he said that he felt that it was, obviously by his immediate apology, felt that it went beyond standards of behaviour. Now, if you want to quibble over the word CD, well, that's fine. I wouldn't say that was an inappropriate word to use in the circumstances.
Sam, do you accept that?
No, I don't accept that at all. I don't see any public interest whatsoever in what these newspapers have done, and I don't see the distinction which Richard is trying to draw between his coverage of this and the Sunday Life. Clearly, there's much more detail. There are photographs in the Sunday Life. But, I mean, describing Ross Hussey, who, in my experience of him, is a pretty conscientious MLA as CD and King of Smut, when Richard's own newspaper carries sexual service advertisements on page 50-odd, is completely hypocritical. There's far more hypocrisy here in the part of the newspapers which are trying to denigrate Ross Hussey than in anything which he has done as a single man with what he believed to be a consenting adult.
Mr. Hussey, he has apologised for sending these naked pictures, as Richard has said. So he's held his hands up. He said, "I was wrong. This is a terrible error of judgment, Sam." So he's not saying, "I did nothing wrong." He's saying, "I am sorry."
Well, I think, to be perfectly honest, that speaks more to his character than it does to anything else. There are plenty of MLAs who, when confronted with something like this, would either try to deny it, they would rush to lawyers, they would try to get an injunction. Here we have a man who instantly held his hands up and said, I think what I've done is inappropriate. I don't think that's, though, a defence of publishing that, saying that simply because he has said this, that somehow that makes it okay. He was put in a position where the newspaper, to me, it really reeks of entrapment, where they seemingly contacted him. They instigated this.
But the article does go on to say that
Sunday World did not do that. Sunday World did not do that. We're not involved in any of that. Let's make that absolutely clear. Sunday World was not involved in any shape or form in what may or may not have happened in that hotel room or the arrangements that went up to it. We have to make that absolutely clear. And for Sam to say that our coverage is similar to the Sunday Life is patently untrue.
Okay, well, we've separated the two stories. They are different. Sam, just going back to the issue that the paper did report that the pictures Ross sent were unprompted, so they didn't ask for these nude snaps. They were sent without request. So surely he's putting himself in a dangerous position there. That's quite reckless, is it not?
Well, I think that, I mean, the wisdom of sending photos like this is, of course, hugely questionable. But I think the recklessness of the newspaper and how they have acted here is equally reckless. I mean, we're a situation where last year there was a young man who took his life when photos which he had sent to other people were threatened to be put up on the internet in what is almost revenge porn. I mean, just because Ross Hussey is an MLA here does not negate his rights in this regard at all.
Is there any issue, though, and this is in the Sunday Life as well, that, you know, he is on the policing board, so he has got a certain responsibility there, and he could be putting himself at danger in that role, you know, potential blackmailers?
No, I think that's a threadbare argument, and it was the only argument which the Sunday Life seemed to be trying to construct to defend what they knew was a pretty dodgy story. I mean, it was clear from how this was covered over four pages that a very significant part of it was almost defending why they were running the story. To try to say that they care so much about Ross Hussey's personal safety that they splashed him over five pages of their newspaper to try to humiliate him. I mean, it's completely unbelievable and hypocritical, and I don't think anybody has bought that defence.
Kelly, you are an MLA. What kind of reaction are you getting in the political sphere in terms of what's happened to Ross?
I think, to be honest, let's look at what has happened in social media. There has been absolute support for Ross. There is this belief that politicians aren't entitled to private lives, but private lives are called that for a reason. There's been no abuse of office, no illegality, and therefore his private life should stay private. I don't believe, like Sam, that there was any public interest here. There was no financial or political abuse. This was a gentleman who believed what he was doing was between two consenting adults. As it happened, it was a journalist who was hiding who he was or who she was in order to get a story. A honey trap was set, and it caught a long-term, long-serving politician. This was no Profumo affair. It was a single man looking for love in the 21st century using modern-day dating techniques, many of whom are advertised, as has been said already, in local papers. It's a very sad affair. It's something that Ross has said that he's embarrassed about, he's apologised for. The story keeps on going. It's not news. We've had terrible atrocities over the last week that could have been reported and been front page in Munich, Kabul and so on. So it's a very sad affair, but, you know, politicians are entitled to private lives. We're not entitled to anything more than anyone else, but when somebody has a private life, we sort of do expect it to be private. Unfortunately, he had an error of judgment, and in today's digital age, he was caught sending photographs.
Do you think, Kelly, will Stormont rally around him when they come back from their summer break? Will there be a lot of support for him?
I think, to be honest, it's a week's a long time in politics, and we're still quite a number of weeks out from the recess. I had the absolute pleasure of sitting in the chamber with Ross whenever he spoke very, very strongly in support of people with learning disabilities, the underspend that happened in the Western Tyrone Trust area. I hope that he's still sitting in his seat when we get back there in September. I have no issues with Ross as a politician, and I'm looking forward to working with him again.
The Sunday Life have sent us quite a lengthy statement. There was no one available to come on from the paper, but they say, "We believe our story was clearly in the public interest as it highlighted a security risk created by the reckless behaviour of an MLA who also has a responsible position on the policing board as the Audit and Risk Management Committee chairman. As stated in the newspaper, we acknowledge that Mr. Hostey, although a public figure and elected representative, has a right to a public life, a private life. However, we are also conscious that Mr. Hostey holds high profile roles which are bound by strict codes of conduct, and he himself is a potential target for terrorists and criminals as a member of the policing board who is privy to highly confidential information." And this echoes what is printed in the paper as well, Kelly. So do they have a point there to an extent?
Well, I don't think that this is the case. You know, if he was being blackmailed, then he'd be blackmailed. But as soon as he was contacted, he apologised. It went public anyway. So we can see that. Yes, it's something that perhaps wasn't in the best judgment, as he's admitted himself. But I haven't found Ross to be anybody who has outspoken against anyone else. I don't see where a blackmailer could possibly use anything about a single man looking for love. It's not a news story. I personally don't think that that has put him at risk. It was an error of judgment. But I don't think that it actually did put him at risk.
Well, Ross has been a
politician. Vinny, can I come in?
Yes, go ahead.
Just briefly, because I'm anxious to just to make this clear. You know, you asked me at the top of the program if this was a matter of public interest, and I want to make it absolutely clear. When I say that what appeared in the Sunday World was of public interest, is that we were reacting to a situation. We simply reported what Ross Hussey told us. And I want to, you know, Sam made a comment there about hypocrisy. Now, I'm not going to judge people in that term, in those terms, but what I will say, what Sunday World carried is in essence absolutely no different to what the BBC carried yesterday on their websites, on their news programmes, and, may I say, the newsletter last night on their coverage. Let me finish. This newsletter carried his apology and his comments in full last night, which is what we did on Sunday. You tell me...
Quite a bit of embellishment.
I'd love to know what embellishment you refer to, because
Vinny read out the words at the start of the programme, and coming from someone who presides over a newspaper which accepts adverts for sexual services, I mean, how can you possibly say that?
Sam, I mean, honestly, Sam, that's really got absolutely nothing to do with it. And it has absolutely nothing to do with it. And again, if I may say so, we can pick out four words from any 800-word article and take them in isolation and make them appear something that they're not. You know as well as I do, in terms of how the English language is used and how we write stories and how everybody writes stories, including the newsletter. So I think there is, I mean, I'm not going to go as far as you and accuse people of being hypocrites, but there is certainly an element of double standards here, Sam, when it comes to when you're pointing the finger at us for a story that the newsletter, maybe in their own language, but the newsletter carried the identical story. So for
you did not carry the identical story.
You did.
Let me be very clear, as my editor was yesterday when we spoke about this. We were carrying a story which made clear that there was an outpouring of public support for Ross Hussey.
Which is what we did.
We were not describing him as a king of smut. We were not describing him as seedy. So there is no comparison whatsoever between the two stories.
Richard, I
find that just absolutely bizarre.
I think listeners can make up their own mind.
Bizarre, Sam.
Can I ask Richard, when do you find out how well the papers have sold? But the reason I ask that is when I was talking to people yesterday, I went into a couple of news agents as well, and there were very few Sunday Worlds and Sunday Lives around. So my point is, sex does sell. So whether people are criticising this, if they're having a go at either paper, any paper for writing this, they're still picking up the paper, they're buying it, they want to read it, even if it is to then condemn it.
Well, I mean, that is true. There's no question about that. I mean, newspapers have published, and I use the term advisedly, you know, unpleasant stories in the past. The Sunday World have published controversial stories in the past. And they have sold. They have sold. And, you know, people point the finger at newspapers, but newspapers, and what newspapers publish is, by and large, to a large extent, dictated by what their market is hungry for. And
did this help your sales yesterday? Do you know that yet?
Well, no, I don't know that. I don't know that. But again, I want to emphasise the fact that our story is simply, I mean, Sarah can talk about, you know, four words in an article, but our story We didn't go into anything salacious in what or what may or may not have happened with Mr. Hussey. That was the Sunday Life business.
No, but I'm sure he didn't I keep going back to this, but I'm sure that whenever Ross, whatever he said to you and your reporter, did not use the word seedy and smut. I'm sure he wouldn't have described himself as that. Can I ask you Richard? If you had the information, the pictures that the Sunday Life had, would you have printed this in the Sunday World as they did?
I can't. I mean, you wouldn't expect me to comment on that because I don't know what the Sunday Life have. I don't know.
But you've read the article, I'm sure.
Well, I mean, and I'm not dodging it, Finney. I can't. How can you put me in that position? I wasn't the editor of the Sunday Life on Saturday afternoon making that decision, and I'm certainly not going to put myself in that. Absolutely not. You wouldn't expect me to comment on that. I mean, I don't know what they have. I don't know.
It seems like a fair question because you're an editor of a paper, and if you can look at another paper and see the content that they did publish, and if you had that content, would you have put it out as well?
Again, honestly, Vinny, you're not going to corner me on this. I cannot comment on what an editorial process in another newspaper. I would certainly, if I have all the information at my fingertips, if I had everything sitting here in the desk in front of me, I would give you an answer. But I'm certainly not going to put myself in that position now.
You're not going to answer?
No, I've answered it. That's my reason. It's not a yes or no question. It's not a yes or no question.
The Sunday Life, the statement to us went on to say, unprompted, he sent, this is obviously talking about Ross, our reporter nude pictures when he had no way of knowing the identity or even the age of the person he was sending the images to. Mr. Hussey has himself stated he made a terrible error of judgment by his actions. So Kelly, I keep coming back to this. Ross is completely holding his hands up. So is this something that if people didn't find out, he would have thought was completely acceptable, but now that it is in the public realm, he is embarrassed and shamed by it?
Absolutely, and unfortunately, this is, as you've said, this is what sells newspapers, you know, salacious gossip, because our society doesn't accept that people have sex lives.
But did you read it yourself, Kelly?
I didn't, actually, because I don't read papers. I don't take any delight in reading stories about people's private lives, because fixating on a person's private life, a politician's private life, results in infringing on the rights of more than just the politicians themselves. We all have families. We all have children or nieces, nephews, mothers, fathers, and to be honest, I don't take any pleasure in reading about a salacious story that is, you know, tearing apart someone's character. I don't believe that disclosure was necessary. It wasn't for the purposes of preventing or investigating a crime. It was a misjudgment. But that's it. You know, he believed that he was sending images or getting engaged with someone who was a consenting adult. You know, that's it.
Do you think, Kelly, would this have had the same reaction if he wasn't a politician? If he was another known figure but wasn't in that elected representative position that he is?
Well, we have it with, you know, pop stars get the same treatment. You know, when you're in the public eye, anybody in the public eye gets this. If this had been a...
But is there almost more of a, you know, putting Ross up there and saying, you're meant to look after us in this country, you make decisions on whether it's, you know, any politician, whether it's policing, health, education, you are the leaders of this country to an extent, and therefore you're meant to lead by example and set an example that we see fit to follow? Or is that going back to the issue of, is it a little bit of prudency among most of us that we think we're surprised that there is someone in the public life that has sex and uses these kind of websites?
To be honest, it's a Northern Ireland and a UK-wide issue. In France, they would just simply shrug their shoulders and carry on. It's just the way that sex is treated. And someone, for instance, we work very long hours in the Assembly. I don't know how anybody that's single would ever find love unless they were using the internet or using something, because we don't have time to go the normal way around, going to bars or going to meet people, you know, on social occasions. So quite often we're working quite late. So I think this is a non-story. You know, this is something we should just pass on. He didn't do anything illegal. He didn't do anything that was an abuse of office. He was trying to have a private life, a sexual private life, and unfortunately it was subterfuge by a journalist that brought it forward.
Sam McBride, what do you think in terms of Ross's his political future? Is this going to have much of a negative impact?
I think there will certainly be people in the Ulster Unionist Party who will be uncomfortable with what they've seen about this, what they've heard about this. But I think that the reaction yesterday was just overwhelming. I mean, I struggle to think of something where there has been such a unified approach to across the political spectrum. We had people from Sinn Féin, from the Alliance Party, DUP, from all sorts of backgrounds who have no time politically for Ross Hussey, uniting to say that this was just an outrageous abuse of power by two but by one in particular, which put more resources into it. And I think that initial reaction will be very important.
You do say, Sam, about the two papers yesterday, but let's also reflect on the fact that the newsletter, the Irish News, that there is a lot of coverage, even the BBC, as Richard did say himself, even just to talk about the story in general, regardless of how much they water it down or they put it in plain speak without the words like CD and smut, it's still up there. We're still drawing attention to what Ross was doing.
It's a totally legitimate question, and it's a difficult call to make. But I think that you either decide that you're going to completely ignore the story, which is certainly something which we considered doing yesterday, or you decide this is an issue which is now being debated, whatever we think about it, and that there is this enormous public anger at what has happened and public support for Ross Hussey. And that was very clearly how we approached the story. I think that's how other people will approach the story. But it was not the way that these two newspapers approached it.
Richard, there was Go ahead, Richard.
I mean, Sam persists with this, but I totally take exception to what he's saying. You cannot lump our coverage in with what the Sunday Life have done, and they can speak for themselves. But we certainly were not. We didn't provoke the story. We didn't go after Mr. Hussey. We didn't do anything like that. We didn't do anything like that.
You did go to his home to try and speak to him.
We did, and perfectly legitimately, there was a story brewing, and we went to him for a comment. And if he had not have commented, we would not have run anything, because we would have nothing to run, because we didn't know anything about hotel rooms. It was Mr. Hussey that told us about that. We didn't know anything about hotel rooms or anything. All we knew was that there was some sort of scandal brewing at Stormont. And if Sam would acknowledge that any journalist would, and particularly with Sam, who's working at Stormont most of the week, you'll try and find out what's going on, which is all we did. Mr. Hussey, all the information that is in the Sunday World coverage was volunteered by Mr. Hussey and the Ulster Unionist Party. It is for Sam to keep lumping us in with what appeared in the Sunday Life is totally disingenuous, because we were not involved in, I think somebody used the word, a sting. We were not involved in any of that. We were not involved in any photographs. We were not involved in any. We did not devote any resources to that.
There is a picture in the front of the Sunday World from yesterday off Mr. Hussey's house. So there are photographs there that your paper has clearly taken.
But Vinny, it's a million miles.
Of course it is,
it's
the front of the man's house, so you know it shows that you were pursuing the story.
No, we weren't pursuing the story. We reacted to what was a rumor, and we went to Mr. Hussey's house to speak to him.
Okay, Richard.
You can't draw a parallel between a picture of a house and the pictures that the Sunday Life have done. I mean, I think that's entirely disingenuous. And you know, Sam referred to the newsletter's coverage, and again, I go back to he can quibble about words, but the newsletter, and we had the same debate as every news editorial team does, as you know, Vinny. And we ran our story is based entirely around Mr. Hussey's apology, and that's it. Our story did not go any further than that, and we were not involved in any so-called sting or anything like that, or outing people's private lives or getting involved in what they were doing in the private. We did not do any of that. I want to make that absolutely clear.
Richard,
and
I want to ask you as well.
Acknowledge that.
There's been a lot of negative reaction online. Any regrets? I know a lot of it was aimed at the Sunday Life, but some towards the Sunday World. In reflection, any regrets on covering the story at all?
No, I don't think so. I think if we had not reacted to what turned out to be a major story over the weekend, people would certainly be looking at us and going, you know, why didn't you do that? Where is it in the Sunday World? I think we reacted to what was a breaking story, like any publication, any newspaper, and any broadcast outlet would do. It was a story breaking. We try to react to it, and we took the decision that in the basis of both Mr. Hussey's comments and a statement from the party that we would carry it. And it's as simple as that. And we had no interest in pursuing Mr. Hussey in the way that has been characterised by your contributors.
Well, to be fair to you, Richard, you have come on this morning to defend yourself and the paper and the reason behind doing this story. Sam, I have one more question for you before I let you go. Do you think that the reaction online, the reaction from other politicians to this story is indicating a change in times? 10 years ago, is it fair to say that the reaction might have been a lot more negative?
I think you've put your finger in something quite significant there. I think that 20 years ago, certainly, that there would have been huge difficulties for Ross Hussey with a story of this nature. I think that Northern Ireland society is changing a lot. I think that's probably surprised the newspaper editors in terms of what the public reaction to this has been. But I I do think that one of the very unfortunate consequences of this, aside from the personal issue for Ross Hussey, is that journalism, which is important, and it is sometimes important to expose hypocrisy in people's private lives. That was not the case here. And I think that journalism is now all lumped together to a certain extent as people who go around shuffling through people's bins or shuffling through stuff online, trying to trap people into stuff where there is no public interest whatsoever in what they've been doing, which has been legal and consensual.
Kelly?
Well, to be honest, I repeat exactly what Sam has said. You know, everyone is entitled to respect for his or her private and family life. I think that I would have to now question whether or not I will be, how would I say it? I'll be very careful in future, you know, who we speak to. I get in contacted all the time on Facebook and Twitter by people who are looking for constituency services from me. Quite a lot of the time I would call out to the person's home. I think from the future now it means then I'll deal with each one of those calls, as will all politicians, with a bit more care.
Are you suggesting you might boycott some of the papers?
No, I'm not saying that at all. To be honest, papers are papers. They print and they publish information that goes out to people who buy those papers. But what I am saying is I will be a bit more careful as to who I speak to, because this just shows me that that sort of tabloid subterfuge can happen at any time.
Okay. Kelly Armstrong, Alliance MLA, thank you very much. Sam McBride from the newsletter, thank you. And Richard Sullivan from the Sunday World. Richard, thanks for coming on. I know you were up against it this morning and you did come on to defend the paper and the reason for doing that. So thank you for doing that.